Well, good morning. Let's begin. Father, we are here, and no matter whether we're by ourselves or with a couple or three or four or whatever, Lord, we know you're in our midst, and we know that you pray for us, as we will see again this morning in your word. And Lord, we want to respond to your spirit this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be talking about probably the most important prayer in the Bible for you and I, because this is a specific prayer for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as good as Apostle Paul's prayers are through the Holy Spirit, this is from Christ himself. And so, it's all about us being a witness, I think, to the world, to show the world his love. So, let's just begin by singing a stanza of 216, I Love to Tell the Story. The old, old story of Jesus and his love. 216.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Well, amen. Well, turn to John 17, if you would, please. And we've been in this great prayer for several weeks now, and we recall that he was praying for himself in the first five verses, and that he was praying to be glorified, and that he would glorify the Father by what he had done as he had finished the work. And so then we had him praying for the disciples, and we put ourselves in the disciples' category, as, for example, last week we read in verse 18, as you sent me into the world, so I also have sent them into the world. And so we are part of them because we're part of the church, because we're part of the body of Christ. But now today in these last seven verses, it's specifically for you and for me, because we read in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, meaning the disciples that he's just prayed for, but also for those who will believe in me through the disciples' word. So, if you believe in Christ, this prayer is for you specifically. Isn't that something? To know that Jesus praying for us really before the foundation of the world. And of course, here's a recorded prayer about 2,000 years ago. But he ever lives to make intercession for us, we know in Hebrews 7:25. Now, he has prayed for purity, he has prayed for sanctity. Last week also we said, for their sakes I sanctify or set apart myself, that they also may be set apart by the truth. So after having prayed to be set apart by the truth, now he prays for unity. This prayer for us is undeniably focused on unity. And why would Jesus pray for unity? Because we are so united, right? And if you believe that without a smile, then I don't know where you've been, because we are anything but united, right? We are self-righteous, we're selfish, we're competitive, we're judgmental, we're critical. I say we, I'm really speaking of myself, but some of you may have that, enter into that once in a while, because you're in these fleshly bodies. And we saw in the disciples, didn't we, over and over and over again, arguing who was the greatest, who would sit on the right hand, even until the very end. Because every time Jesus would mention his crucifixion, they would immediately go into an argument on who was going to be the greatest, even though they didn't understand what he was talking about. And we're no different, are we? But he is praying first in verse 21. By the way, there are 11 that's in this section. A lot of that, this, that, that, the reason for, in other words, is most of what the way these that's are used. So first he's praying what? That. What is the reason for the prayer? That they, meaning us, may be one. That's his first and primary emphasis here, that we may be one. He's praying for unity for us, even including in this little group here this morning for sure. Now, what is the standard of the unity? Well, we see a lot of as's in here too. As means the standard or just as or the comparison or the yardstick, that they may be one. How? United as you, Father, are in me. Well, we cannot be totally united as the Father is in the Son, because we are not the Father. We are not God. We are not God the Father, God the Son. So from a relationship standpoint, we can't be united in that fashion, but we can be united in the areas that we are capable of being united in, as the Father is in the Son. And they were one, right? They were one. And so that we may be united as the Father is in the Son and I in you. So it's both ways there. It says, as the Father is in Jesus and as Jesus is in the Father. So we have that, that's the standard that we want to be, that he's praying for us. And that they all may also may be one in us. And so first was the unity, the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father. And now it's the standard is between us, between us, the believers, and the Father's Son. In other words, that we may be one in us, that they also may be one in us, capital U, meaning the Father, the Son. And the third request then is why? What's the result of that? What is the result of that unity? That the world may believe. That the world may believe. Now, why is the church having so much trouble? Because the church is not united. And all the non-Christians see is Christians bickering and fighting. And that does not cause them to believe as the Lord is praying, that the world may believe what? That you sent me, is what the request is here. Now he goes on to say, this is just so beautiful, every time he prays for us to have his glory, I mean, that is just beyond what we can't even envision the extent of that prayer. But what he says here, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. It doesn't mean I will give them. It's a past tense verb. How has he given us his glory? By what he's done for us. It's like sanctification. We're already totally sanctified the moment we believe because of what he has done for us. Now, we mentioned last week, we use that in a different way as well as we look at how we live. And as our faith grows, we say our sanctification is growing. I'm more sanctified because I'm thinking more of the Lord and less of myself as I grow in the Lord. And there is some of that, but it, in terms of really being set apart, we're set apart by the blood shed on the cross, not by anything we could ever do. And the same way here, the glory, he has given that glory to us already. It's not that, okay, guys, if you shape up, you know, if you keep your nose clean and so forth, then I'll give you my glory. No, we're already glorified in him because of what he has done for us. The first covenant didn't work very well, did it? But it was a very good reason for that 1,500-year first covenant. That was to show man that he could not save himself, no matter how hard he tried. So then Jesus came, instituting the new covenant where it's all done for man, because man can't save himself, so it's done for us. So we have that glory which he has given us already, but that doesn't mean necessarily that we've all received it, because we have to believe in him to receive it. That the glory which you gave me, I've given them. Why? That they may be one. So he's given us his glory again for our, that we may be united. Notice we have the same Savior. We have the same Father. We have the same salvation. We have the same destination of heaven. We have everything. Believers have all of these things the same. We have the same inheritance, do we not? Is there any of us who have, oh, well, I got a bigger percentage than you in inheritance? No, we're all the same. And yet, we live our lives as anything but the same. We can find the slightest little advantage over some other person and just revel in it, can't we? Or am I just speaking into people who used to be that way? Carnal comparisons just seem to flow all through us without even trying, right? That's the flesh. But he's saying here that they may be one, just as we are one. And then in verse 23, again, I in them and you in me, why? That they may be made perfect in one. Totally complete, totally mature, totally without flaw in unity. Totally without flaw in unity. Why? Well, again, that the world may know. That the world may know. That the world may know. That's why you and I have not been taken home to heaven, I believe, as soon as we believed. Because he's leaving us here. Why? That the world may know. That we may show the world his love. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Who have you told lately that the Lord loves them as much as the Father loves the Son? Of course, they wouldn't understand that because they don't understand the Father and the Son. But isn't that a standard beyond compare? That you have loved them as you have loved me? Unbelievable, isn't it? Now, verse 24 is my favorite in this whole prayer, because that is this, Father, I desire. That word desire is to mean want exceedingly. It is a very strong word. It is not just, well, you know, I kind of want to have a good day today. No, this is I want exceedingly, I desire. I desire what? That these future believers whom you gave me may be what? That they may be with me, where? Where I am. Now, he's not talking right now of being in Jerusalem on the earth. I think he's talking about where he's going, that he wants us to be with him in heaven. He wants us to be in heaven for what reason? That they may behold my glory. Now, behold there is not just observe from a far distance, but it's to experience and to be part of it. Not necessarily we are not going to be causing his glory, we're not going to be able to be adding to his glory, but we're going to be beholding his glory for how long? For a 6-week course, they're going to come and behold my glory? No, forever. He wants us to be with him forever to behold his glory. And what glory is it? It's the glory which the Father has given him. Now, these are pretty stratospheric terms, aren't they? I mean, can you really understand any of that? Can you understand what his glory is? Can you understand the glory the Father has given him? Can you understand that the Father loved him before the foundation of the world? That's what his prayer is. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So if any of you have really gotten your arms all the way around that, can really understand it, you can spend about a month or so trying to tell me about it, because it's too great. I just can't attain that. But it's pretty easy to see what he wants for us, doesn't he? He wants to be with us, or actually us to be with him too, that we would behold his glory. And then he closes, not necessarily with petitions, but just declarations here. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these future believers have known that you sent me. I love that. It hadn't even happened yet, but we've already known, right? Isn't that amazing? That they've known, past tense, that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Just notice the statement of love for us through what he has done for us. And I've declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. So, in summary, he's praying for unity for us, that we would show the world his love. Now, you know that truth without love has been described as being brutality. Truth without love is brutality. Love without truth is what? Hypocrisy. So we must show truth in love, right? Truth in love. If we don't have the love, it's going to be rejected. If we don't have the truth, then it's not love at all. If you just tell a person that God is love and you can live any old way you want to live and it doesn't matter what you believe, he loves you, that's partially true that he loves you, but that's hypocrisy because that's not telling them the truth at all, is it? Not the whole truth. So he's praying for our unity that we may show the world that he loves them. Father, as we look at this prayer, it is just so awesome, and we just thank you for it. And Lord, help us to be ready. One day we will be held accountable, Lord, standing in front of you for the full report, so to speak. And can we say, I hope we will be able to say the same that you said to the Father in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you. And so, Lord, we want to tell somebody every day and pray about that continually of showing your love to them because you love us so much. The cross, Lord, help us to keep the cross in the center of every discussion, Lord. Without that, we have no hope. And so, Lord, guide us now in this morning, in this time of prayer, and may we yield to your Spirit and draw us into one accord. In Jesus' name, amen.